Emblazoned in gold against a still of a cloudy blue sky, Warner Brothers Pictures, a Warner Communications company. Warner Brothers presents Jack Nicholson, Michael Keaton, Kim Basinger, a Goober Peters Company production. Ominous whispers of cloud in a midnight blue sky. A Tim Burton film, Batman. Based upon characters appearing in magazines published by DC Comics, Inc. Robert Wool, Pat Hingle, Billy Dee Williams, Michael Goff, and Jack Palance. Casting by Marion Doherty, costume design Bob Ringwood, Ms. Basinger's costumes by Linda Henriksen. Music by Danny Elfman, songs written and performed by Prince. Editor Ray Lovejoy, production design by Anton First, based on Batman characters created by Bob Kane. Executive producers Benjamin Melnicker and Michael E. Uslan. Co-producer Chris Kenny. Screenplay by Sam Hamm and Warren Scarron. Story by Sam Hamm. Produced by John Peters and Peter Goober. Directed by Tim Burton. The faint outline of the arched curve of an extended wing emerges from the darkness, then the pointed peaked ears of a bat, the Batman symbol. A watery moon shimmers from a dark liquid sky down onto the rising spires and towering high-rises of Gotham City. Traffic snakes through the bleak, grimy metropolis. Crowds scurry along in the grey drizzle. A man in a brown coat and trilby leads a woman and child out of the Monarch Theatre and hurries towards a taxi. He peers in through the front passenger window. A couple hop in the back of the cab.
Excuse me, sorry. I'm sorry, this is my cab. No, listen, I was here first! Oh, God. Taxi! Taxi!
The taxi speeds past.
Taxi! Wait!
He turns to the woman and child. He leads them across the street. The woman and child struggle to keep up.
For God's sake, Harold, can we please just get a taxi?
I'm trying to get a taxi!
We're going the wrong way!
The kid carries a map.
Jimmy, put that away. We'll look like tourists.
Hi, honey.
We'll never get a cab. Let's cut over to 7th.
7th is that way!
I know where we are.
Harold takes Jimmy's arm and pulls him further on down the street, followed by the woman. They hurry along a murky alleyway. Homeless tramps stand by overflowing rubbish bins. Harold leads his family down another dark and grimy alley. Steam rises from a crack in the wet pavement. A sunken-eyed man, Eddie, sits on a bench beside a wall.
Hey, mister, give me a dollar.
Harold ignores him.
Hey, mister, how about it? $1. Are you deaf? You don't speak English? Come on, up here.
A figure thwacks Harold and points a gun at the woman.
Hey, lady, do the kid a favor. Don't scream.
He grabs her handbag while Eddie pilfers Harold's pockets. The muggers make a run for it. The woman crouches down by Harold, who lies unconscious on the ground. Far above the city, a black cloaked figure stands on a rooftop looking down. On another rooftop, Eddie and his accomplice Nick count their loot.
Hey, all right. American Express card.
Don't leave home without it.
Eddie wants it.
Hey, get out of here.
Eddie looks round shiftily.
Let's beat it, man. I don't like it up here.
What, are you scared of heights?
I don't know. After what happened to Johnny Gobbs.
Hey, look, man. Johnny Gobbs got ripped and took a walk off a roof, all right? No big loss.
No, man. That ain't what I heard at all. I heard the bat got him.
The bat? Oh, man. Give me a break, will you?
5 stories straight down. There wasn't no blood in the body.
It was all over the pavement.
A large bat figure appears above them.
Hey, shut up, man. Listen to me. Derry, no bat.
Yeah, well, you shouldn't have turned the gun on that kid, man. You shouldn't have turned the gun on that.
Do you want your cut of this money or not? Now shut up. Shut up.
Eddie hangs his head. They look up to see a figure clad in black leather raise a bat-like winged cloak above his head, then soar down to the roof. Nick turns his gun on it and fires. The cloaked figure falls backwards onto the roof. The muggers turn to run, then pause and look round. The bat figure rises from the roof, and raising his winged arms, he strides towards them and kickboxes Eddie in the chest. Eddie falls backwards through a door. Nick tries to flee, but the cloaked figure holds up a bat-shaped grapple hook, lassoes it round Nick's ankle, and drags him across the roof. The bat figure grabs up Nick and pulls him to his feet. He hauls him to the edge of the roof.
Don't kill me! Don't kill me, man! Don't kill me! Don't kill me, man!
I'm not going to kill you. I want you to do me a favor. I want you to tell all your friends about me.
What are you?
The figure pulls him closer.
I'm Batman.
Then thrusts him aside. Batman steps over the edge of the roof, raises his cloaked arms over his head, and disappears. Nick crawls to the edge and peers over. Down below him is the deserted alley, but there's no sign of Batman. An inauguration dinner for Harvey Dent, district attorney. The mayor has the stand.
Across this nation, the words Gotham City are synonymous with crime. Our streets are overrun, our public officials are helpless. As mayor, I promise to root out the source of this corruption, Boss Carl Grissom. Now, our new district attorney, Harvey Dent, will carry out that promise. Harvey?
Cameras flash as good-looking, suave Harvey rises to step behind the mics.
Thank you. Thank you, Mayor Bohr.
Thank you. The people of Gotham City, I'm a man of few words, but those words will count. And so will my actions. Police Commissioner Gordon has informed me that he has targeted those businesses suspected of fronting for the syndicate in this city.
In Carl Grissom's apartment.
Before the week is out, we are going to knock down their doors and shed the light of the law on that nest of vipers.
Jack Napier flicks cards as he watches TV.
Together, we can make this city safe for decent people.
A leggy blonde comes in.
Decent people shouldn't live here. They'd be happier someplace else.
Pretty tough talk about Carl.
Don't worry about it. If this clown could touch Grissom, I'd have handed him his lungs by now. You have been
listening to a press conference. If Grissom knew about us, he might hand you something.
Don't flatter yourself, Angel. He's a tired old man. Can't run this city without me.
He gets up.
And besides,
he leans towards her.
He doesn't know.
He steps up to a full-length mirror.
You don't worry about anything, do you, Jack?
Smartly suited and with a heavily receding hairline, he glances back at her with a raised brow, smirks, then turns back to gaze at his reflection. The blonde, Alicia Hunt, steps up behind him.
You look fine.
He peers over his shoulder.
I didn't ask.
He eyes her sardonically, then glances at her hand resting on his shoulder. She removes it and he walks away. Back in the mugger's alley.
Yeah, hanging on.
We're going through. Get out of the way.
Paramedics carry the wounded Eddie into an ambulance on a gurney. Lieutenant Max Eckhart stands with a cop and watches.
No. Let me guess. Giant, menacing, supernatural form. Kind of like a bat.
Yeah, that's it. What are they seeing up there?
Drinking Drano.
It's a little weird, Lieutenant.
Thanks for the tip, Dwayne.
A newspaper hack approaches.
Knox.
Hello, Lieutenant Eckhart. I hear we just had us another bat attack. That's, what, 8 sightings now in just under a month? I hear the commissioner's even opened a file. True?
Sorry, Knox. These two slipped on a banana peel.
Bat.
Nick.
I'm telling you, man. A giant bat.
Knox goes, and Eckhart walks further down the bleak and grimy alley. At its end, under an arch, a man stands waiting by a car in a long black coat and black fedora. It's Jack Napier. He throws Eckhart a package.
Brought you a little snack, Eckhart.
I got
package. Broadcast it.
Shut up and listen.
Eckhart fingers cash in the package.
Harvey Dent has been sniffing around one of our front companies.
That's my territory. If there's a problem, I deal with it.
Your problems are our problems.
I answer to Grissom, not to psychos.
Why, Eckhart, you ought to think about the future.
You mean when you run the show? You ain't got no future, Jack.
You're an A1 nut boy, and Grissom knows it.
Jack shoves him back against a wall. As Eckhart pulls out a gun, Jack's sidekick Bob trains his gun on the bent cop.
Better be sure.
Jack grins, and Eckhart slowly lowers his gun.
See? You can make a good decision when you try.
Jack walks on. Eckhart watches him and nods to himself.
Where you been spending your nights?
A happy birthday banner hangs over the doors of the ugly gray Gotham City Hall.
I don't care how deeply in debt this festival is. I want a parade. I want hot dogs, balloons, the whole schmear. We are going to celebrate this 200th anniversary proudly and publicly.
We may be celebrating in bankruptcy court. This festival is $250,000 in rent, and we haven't seen one balloon.
You fill this square with people, and the businesses will come back here.
I think a lot of people might stay away, Mayor. They're scared.
They won't be scared when you get Grissom in that courthouse. I promise that. Remember?
Alexander Knox, news hack, returns to his office.
Had any sightings of Bigfoot lately?
They not. They buried your story on the bat.
That's what they do to garbage.
This is Pulitzer Prize stuff, guys.
Hey, Knox. Knox, I got something for you.
A colleague passes him a crude sketch of a bat wearing a suit.
Very firm. You should have a little more gore under the fangs, all right?
What a dick.
He spots a pair of shapely legs perched on a desk.
Hello, legs.
A newspaper blocks his full view.
I'm reading your stuff.
Well, I'm reading yours.
A beautiful blonde.
Hi, I'm Vicki Vale.
Vicki Vale, yeah, photographer, Vogue, Cosmo, yeah. Listen, if you want me to pose nude, you're gonna need a long lens.
Actually, I was in the Court of Maltese.
He picks up a Time magazine with her pictures.
Girl could get hurt doing this stuff. So, what brings you here?
I'm here to see some of the wildlife in Gotham City.
Wildlife?
Mm-hmm.
Like what?
He leans towards her.
Like bats.
He pulls back.
Who sent you?
No, nobody. Really, I just loved your story, and I like bats.
Yeah?
My pictures, your words, Pulitzer Prize material. Just think.
Okay, you're a visionary. You're also the only one who believes me. I need something tangible. Gordon's got a file on this. I can't even get him on the phone.
Bruce Wayne's benefit. He'll be there, right?
Yeah. I don't seem to be on the guest list. No.
She holds up two invites.
Yes. Vale, will you marry me?
Nope.
Will you buy me lunch?
Maybe.
I eat light.
A huge skyscraper rises above the city. In his office at the top, boss Carl Grissom looks at a newspaper picture of Harvey Dent.
Say, this son of a bitch makes a connection with us and with Axis Chemicals. What kind of damage are we looking at?
If he ties us in with Axis Chemical, we're dead and buried. We should move immediately.
Jack Napier.
I say we break into the place, trash the office, and make off with the records and say it was industrial espionage.
Jack.
Grissom turns to face him.
Smart thinking. That's the way to go, in fact. I'd like you to handle this operation personally.
Jack's brows rise.
Me?
He flicks up a playing card. It's the Joker. Lift doors open and Alicia steps out with boutique bags. Grissom calls to her.
Hello, sweetheart. I wonder if you'd mind waiting in the next room.
She glances at Jack as she glides into the next room. A smile curls across Jack's lips. Grissom looks at him and swallows, then addresses the other crime lords gathered in his office.
That's all, gentlemen. Thank you. Thank you, gentlemen. That's all.
The crime lords disperse. Jack, in mauve suit, white shirt and red polka dot tie, stands up and picks up his trilby and coat.
Carl, we get somebody else to do this? And the fumes in that place.
Grissom twitches his head.
Jack.
He walks towards Jack.
It's an important job. I need someone I can trust. You are my number one guy.
He grasps Jack by the arms and grins.
No.
Jack turns to go.
Don't forget,
He picks up Jack's playing cards and drops them into his trilby.
You're lucky, Dak.
Jack nods, manages a smile and goes. Grissom, tall, menacing, grey-haired and grey-suited, watches him depart, then walks back to his gleaming, polished wood desk and picks up a phone.
My friend, your luck is about to change.
He sits down and waits.
Police department.
Get me Lieutenant Eckhart.
Night. Cars file up outside Bruce Wayne's gothic castle with its turrets and towers. Inside a large wood-paneled room, a roulette table spins. A smiling blonde in a black dress holds a basket bedecked with two little flags bearing the words, Save the Festival. Guests arrive and place money in her basket. The guests in black tie and evening wear place bets at the various gaming tables. Waiters move through the crowd with silver trays of champagne. One elderly bespectacled waiter and private butler to Bruce Wayne, Alfred Pennyworth, approaches Knox, who's standing alone looking about.
Can I help you, sir? Thanks. Thank you very much. That's very nice.
He takes a glass.
Here you go.
And drops some money on the tray. The grey-haired, dignified Alfred picks up the note with some disdain and walks on. Vicky Vale, gorgeous in a cream off-the-shoulder taffeta gown, squeezes past Alfred.
Good evening, ma'am.
A little crowded.
He gives her a leery eyeful. Vicky casts her eyes about, then taps a man on the shoulder as he bends over a table to write something.
Excuse me.
He turns round.
Could you tell me which of these guys is Bruce Wayne?
He gazes at her.
Well, I'm not sure.
Thanks, Amy.
She goes. He gazes after her, entranced.
Oh, certainly. Yeah.
Good-looking and with dark receding hair, the man, Bruce Wayne, picks up his glass from the table, deposits his pen in a topiary tree, which is instantly removed by Alfred, and watches Vicky as she mingles with the other guests. He drains his glass and deposits it on a gaming table, where it's immediately removed by Alfred. Bets are placed on the craps table. The mayor and Harvey Dent stand at one end, where the well-fed, mustachioed Commissioner Gordon and his wife are on a roll.
Here we go.
Eight, I can make that eight.
Knox squeezes in between the couple.
Commissioner, Mrs. Gordon, you look lovely. How about that rumor that the commissioner's got a file on the Batman? That's not true, is it?
Not for the night time. There is no bat. If there were, we would find him. We would arrest him.
Would you confirm him? Be straight.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
Commissioner, how you making out?
No good at all.
Oh, Mr. Dent, I love that tie. Gordo and I were just discussing the pros and cons of winged vigilantes. What's your stand?
Mr. Knox, we have enough problems in this city without worrying about ghosts and goblins.
That's not a denial.
A waiter whispers to the commissioner.
Oh. Excuse me, dear. I'll be back.
Isn't anybody going to go on record? Your Honor, great suit.
No comment.
Commissioner Gordon approaches a cop.
Robert, what's up?
Anonymous tip. Napier's cleaning out Axis chemicals.
Vicky, who's chatting politely with an elderly couple, catches Knox's eye. He points and gestures to Commissioner Gordon and the cop.
Why wasn't I told about this? Who's in charge?
Eckhart, sir.
Oh, my God. Come on, let's go.
Vicky gives the curly-haired, slightly goofy Knox a nod. Shortly after, they open double doors.
Commissioner Gordon.
Knox turns a light on, revealing a huge, black-and-white tiled museum room filled with suits of armor and tribal African and Eastern costumes.
Wait. Living room? Tiny room? Arsenal? Get this stuff. Who is this guy?
Gives to all these humanitarian causes, and then collects all this stuff.
He probably doesn't get chicks. They like him for his big charity balls.
Yeah, and don't leave out his very large bankroll.
Now remember, the more they've got, the less they're worth.
And this guy must be the most worthless guy in America.
Check this out. Oh. He must have been king of the wicker people.
Bruce Wayne has stepped in behind them.
Oh, where'd this come from?
I have no idea.
Bruce looks up at it.
It's Japanese.
How do you know?
Because I bought it in Japan.
Who are you?
Oh, sorry, Bruce Wayne.
He holds out his hand.
Alexander Knox.
Hi. Oh, I read your work. I like it. I like it a lot.
Oh, thanks. Can I have a grant?
Vicky Vale.
Hi.
They shake hands.
Bruce Wayne.
Are you sure?
Yeah, this time. I've seen your photographs from Corto Maltese, haven't I?
Right.
Yeah, you've got a wonderful eye.
Yeah, some people think she has two.
This is an amazing house. I'd like to shoot it sometime if you...
Mr. Wayne, we need to open a few more cases of the champagne. Will that be all right?
Oh, sure. Go ahead. Open what? Six?
Six?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, six is good.
Okay. Yeah. It's great. Six. Thanks. Anyway, are you going to be staying in Gotham for a while?
I'd love to. I'm intrigued by Alex's giant bat story, so I've done some...
Oh, the Batman.
Yeah.
Thing. Yeah. That's a little bit light after the Warren Cordell Maltese, isn't it?
And what do you do for a living?
While I'm involved.
Sir, Commissioner Gordon was compelled to leave.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Very unexpectedly, sir.
Bruce takes the hint from Alfred.
Will you too, excuse me?
I think perhaps this way, sir.
Oh. Alfred, they need some more wine in the front room, and someone named Mrs. Daly needs a copy of the menu. Oh, and give Knox a grant.
He goes. Knox and Vicky watch him leave, open-mouthed.
Nice talking with you, Wayne.
Oh, they're rich. You know why they're so odd? Because they can afford to be. I mean, look at this mirror. Maybe it should be Bruce Wayne.
They're standing in front of a huge mirror which reflects the room and its artifacts. Behind it, a camera slowly rotates on a tripod, watching them. Bruce, now wearing glasses, sits on a black leather chair, scanning a bank of monitors, recording the activities in each room. Wayne rewinds the tape from the gaming room to watch and listen to Commissioner Gordon's earlier conversation with the cop.
Robert, what's up?
Anonymous tip. Napier's cleaning out Axis Chemicals.
Good Lord, if we could put our hands on him, we'd have Chris on. Why wasn't I told about this? Who's in charge?
Eckhart, sir.
Oh, my God. Come on, let's go.
Bruce removes his glasses and ponders thoughtfully. Squad cars under police van are parked outside Axis Chemicals, an unshaven and slovenly Eckhart's instructing his team.
All right, take a good look. This is the guy.
He hands out wanted posters for Jack Napier.
All right, get a good look. Shoot to kill. Know what I mean? All right, let's move out.
Taking his gun out from behind his trouser waistband, he heads off with his team of cops. The torchlit silhouettes of several men are visible through the windows of a small room in a factory. Inside, Jack and his sidekicks are busily searching through filing cabinets. One man's using an acetylene blowtorch to burn through the lock of a large metal safe. The guy with the blowtorch finally steps aside. Another hood moves in and prizes the lock off. The door opens, and Jack, in black overcoat and Trilby, steps forward out of the shadows. The safe's empty. His eyes widen.
You've been ratted out here, boys. Watch it.
The hood step tentatively out of the office into the factory. A cop jumps out in front of them, gun poised.
Freeze!
The hoods open fire. The cops retaliate with fire. The hoods disperse. Jack runs up some stairs. Commissioner Gordon and his team arrive.
What the hell's going on?
You're trying to do blow the collar.
I'm in charge here, not Carl Grissom.
He grabs a loudspeaker from Eckhart.
This is Commissioner Gordon. I want him taken alive. I repeat, any man who opens fire on Jack Napier will answer to me.
Eckhart scuttles away, darting out of sight. Jack runs up to the controls. He pulls lever after lever. Each one sends up showers of sparks and smoke from the control panel. Jack spins a valve round. Boiling liquid pours out of huge vats. Steam shoots up into the air. Cops open fire on Jack's cronies. They return fire, piercing a tank beside the cops with bullet holes. Boiling liquid squirts out through the holes onto the cops. They dart for cover. The hoods laugh and run on. Batman appears before them on the catwalk. They open fire on him. Batman fires a hook from his batgun and reels one of the hoods forwards until he tips over a railing. Batman wraps the reel around a railing so that the hood dangles in midair.
Lay down!
Commissioner Gordon and his team look up to see the hood and a masked and cloaked figure. Jack runs towards a steaming, bubbling vat. A warning on the circular tank nearby reads, "Highly toxic." He pauses. Jack grabs a fire hatchet and cracks a hole in the highly toxic tank. Liquid bursts out of it. The cops open fire. Jack darts up a steel staircase as green toxic liquid pours onto the ground beside the cops. Jack continues to climb further and further up the steel staircase to a higher level. Cops fire on his cronies. One of them, in a pinstripe suit and trilby, is knocked out by Batman with a single blow to his face. Jack's still climbing. Unbeknownst to him, as he rounds a corner and with steam rising around him, the sleek, elegant figure of Batman appears and effortlessly follows him. Jack peers over the steel framework down at the oozing, industrialized web of pipes, tanks, and vats on the ground below. The cops are all over the place. He spots an exit door in his level, not far away. Gordon instructs two cops.
See if you can get up on the catwalk on that side. You take that side. Be careful. Be very careful.
Jack's crouched down to have a look at them through the railings. As he stands up, Batman holds his arms aloft and smoothly sails down onto the catwalk. He strides towards Jack and kicks the gun out of his hand. He hauls Jack up off his feet. Bob points a gun at Gordon's head.
Let him go, or I'll do Gordon!
Batman slowly lowers Jack down onto the catwalk. Jack jerks his arms free and backs up, while keeping his eyes fixed on Batman. He nods.
Nice outfit.
He turns and bends down to pick up his gun, then quickly spins round to shoot Batman. Batman has disappeared. Jack's triumphant smile vanishes. He looks round. Bob calls up from a lower level.
Come on, Jack, let's go!
Eckhart slowly walks up behind Gordon. Jack steps along the catwalk, then looks down at the lower level and spots him.
Come on! Come on, Jack!
Eckhart!
Eckhart turns round and looks up.
Think about the future!
Eckhart's blown backwards against steaming pipes. His obese form slowly slides to the ground. Jack spins round and shoots at Batman, who's standing beside him. Batman deflects the fire against a glass dial on a tank, which splinters Jack's face. He drops his gun and topples over the railing, falling into a tank of toxic green liquid.
God damn it, we had him!
He calls up to Batman.
Hold it right there!
Batman glances round. He turns to head for the exit door, but sees the silhouette of a cop through the glass. He smashes something on the catwalk. Smoke engulfs him. He thrusts a grapple hook upwards. A cop queries Gordon.
Who is this guy?
I don't know.
Batman soars upwards.
Until we find out, keep a lid on it.
Outside, the chemical factory spews fumes into the air. Batman's caped figure stands beside the red neon axis on top of the building. He turns and goes. Liquid pours from two huge funnels into a reservoir. Playing cards pop to the surface and float. Then a blackened hand, curled like a claw, emerges and rises out of the water.
Wait, if there's no bat, then who dropped this guy Napier into the acid?
Suicide!
Wait, I want to get this on tape, okay? Hello?
He hung up.
Knox is with Vicky.
Okay, what do you got?
Okay, here's the inner city, here's Axis Chemicals, and here's the sighting so far. Maybe Batman has some kind of flight pattern or something. That's all I can think of.
Yeah, this is very good, very good. I'll tell you what, tonight, first I'll take you to dinner and then we'll walk the trail.
No can do. I got a date. Bruce Wayne.
Wayne? Wayne? No.
I knew you were going to say that.
The guy's a stiff. He's a rich stiff, but you can do much better.
Thanks for being so concerned. Bye.
Knox is peeved. Electronic gates close to Bruce Wayne's gothic pile. Inside in the dining room, Vicky sits at a formal, elaborately laid table, sipping soup. A dapper-suited Bruce sits opposite her. He looks up.
How's the soup?
She frowns and leans closer.
Excuse me?
They sit at either end of a long table.
The soup. How is it?
It's great.
She lifts her head tentatively and pauses before raising her hand to the side of her mouth and calling out.
Could you pass the salt?
Sure.
He stands up, picks up the salt, and brings it to her.
Thanks.
He returns to his seat and sits down.
Did you have a hard time finding the house?
No. No, it's no problem.
Good.
Do you like eating in here?
Oh, yeah.
He raises his arched brows and looks round.
You want to know the truth? I don't think I've ever been in this room before.
He looks at her and smiles.
Do you want to get out of here?
Yes.
They pick up their bowls of soup and glasses of wine and leave the room. Later, dirty dinner plates sit on a table in the kitchen where Alfred regales them with stories.
There was young Master Bruce, leading his grey pony with me on its back,
like a sack of old potatoes, covered in mud and nursing a sprained ankle. That was the first and last time I gave him a riding lesson. Well, I think I've embarrassed him for long enough.
He stands up.
I'm off to bed. But please, leave everything. I'll tidy up in the morning. Good night, miss.
Good night, Alfred.
Good night, sir.
And Alfred.
He goes, leaving them alone.
He's really wonderful. He loves you a lot.
Alfred's a great one. I couldn't find my socks without him.
He sort of reminds me of my grandfather.
Were you close to him?
Yeah, I used to spend summers with he and my grandmother. They had a house on the lake. Nothing like this, but it was fun.
That sounds nice.
Yeah. What about your family?
Well...
He picks up a bottle.
Actually, Alfred is my family.
He fills their glasses with red wine. She looks at him curiously.
You know, this house and all this stuff really doesn't seem like you at all.
He sets the bottle down and picks up his glass.
Some of it is very much me. Some of it isn't.
That dining room is definitely not you.
No, the dining room isn't.
He looks at her and grins. It's dark. Down a grimy back street, in a grotty, run-down basement, a balding old man in a white coat leans over a patient in semi-darkness. He begins to unravel bandages wrapped round the man's head.
Let's see how we did.
His patient sits in shadows. He waves a hand with stunted fingers encased in a grubby white glove and begins to tear impatiently at the bandages around his head. His silhouette shows long wild hair sticking out of the sides of his head around a bald crown. As his face is laid bare, the surgeon stiffens and stares, horrified.
Mirror.
The surgeon doesn't move.
Mirror!
The surgeon picks up a handheld mirror and hands it to him. He bends forward.
You understand that the nerves were completely severed, Mr. Napier.
Jack stands and smashes the light bulb, plunging the room into darkness. He shuffles across the room and heads up a staircase. Bruce links Vicky's arm up a grand staircase with ornate carved wood. She pauses and turns to him.
An awful lot of stairs in this place. My feet are killing me.
She slips a shoe off.
Okay.
She leans against the wall and Bruce removes her other shoe.
I feel a little drunk. And you're not anything.
Hey, one drink and I'm flying.
She pulls him closer.
Why are you afraid of flying?
He tosses the shoe away, tilts his head towards hers and kisses her. Grissom steps out of a cream marble bathroom in a robe into his luxurious office, patting his face with a towel. He tosses the towel aside and strides up to his desk, where he pours himself a drink. Through a huge window, flanked outside by the sculptures of two faces in profile, Gotham City looms dark and sinister. The lift door slides open and a silhouetted figure in long overcoat and trilby steps out.
That you, Sugar Bumps?
He turns round and stares.
Who the hell are you? It's me, Sugar Bumps. Jack. Oh, thank God you're alive. I heard you'd been...
Fried. Is that what you heard?
He steps forward.
Set me up over a woman. A woman! Must be insane.
With shaking hands, Grissom raises his glass to his lips and downs a whiskey. He turns round with his back to Jack, and with one hand goes to pour another whiskey, while the other hand attempts to pick up a gun.
Don't bother.
Grissom turns.
Your life won't be worth spit!
Jack points his gun at him.
I've been dead once already. It's very liberating. You should think of it as, therapy. Maybe we can cut a deal. Jack. Jack is dead, my friend. You can call me Joker.
He looks like a clown.
And as you can see, I'm a lot happier.
He's got a fixed manic grin. He shoots Grissom. Grissom staggers backwards. The Joker shoots again. Grissom falls into his chair. The Joker changes position. He turns and twists, all the while pumping more bullets into Grissom. The Joker's gun barrel is empty. He holds his arms out triumphantly and tosses his trilby over his head and looks round the office.
What a day.
Bruce is in bed with Vicky. She's sleeping. He's leaning up on his elbow, gazing down at her. She turns round to face him and snuggles into him. He puts his arms round her and cuddles her. He stares ahead, wide awake and deep in thought. An ornate clock on a marble fireplace beside the bed reads almost 3:15 in the morning. Vicky opens her eyes slowly to see Bruce hanging by his ankles from a metal bar frame, swinging gently to and fro, with his elbows sticking out at either side, bat-like. The Joker, ghoulishly white with green hair, sits in Grissom's office, gazing out over the city through the huge landscape window.
Gotham City always brings a smile to my face.
His eye catches a headline on a blood-stained newspaper.
Winged freak terrorizes.
He drops the paper.
Wait till they get a load of me.
With a fixed grimace, his brows arch. His eyes roam round the room as he thinks.
Hey, I've got an idea. How about lunch at my place? I'll show you some photos.
Sure, okay. Wait a minute. No, I can't. I can't make it.
She stands up.
Okay, we'll do it later in the day.
Oh, hold on a second. I can't make it then either. I've got a very important meeting today.
What's wrong?
She gazes at him.
Nothing's wrong.
He stands up.
Really, I've just got to go out of town on business for a few days.
Okay, we'll do it when you get back.
All right.
You got to go. I'm late.
She picks up her bag and kisses him.
Bye.
And again, and goes.
Bye.
Bruce rubs his face sleepily. On her way downstairs, Vicky meets Alfred.
Alfred!
It's nice to see you again, ma'am.
Nice to see you, too.
They walk down together.
Well, I'll talk to you guys when you get back.
Back, Miss Vale? We're going to be here for quite a while.
Vicky's surprised.
Well, bye.
Alicia Hunt, tall and slender with cascading blonde hair, returns to Grissom's palatial apartment after a shopping trip. The Joker's waiting for her.
Honey?
She looks up.
You'll never believe what happened to me today.
She looks at the garish Joker in his purple fur-lined jacket and cap and faints. The Joker sips a martini. Grissom's crime lords are gathered round a board table and listen in stunned silence to the Joker, who sits at the top, facing them.
So, gentlemen, that's how it is. Until Grissom, resurfaces. I'm the acting president, and I say, starting with this anniversary festival, we run the city into the ground.
Why don't we hear this from Grissom?
Yeah. And what's with that stupid grin?
Life's been good to me.
Crime Lord Antoine Rotelli stands up.
What if we say no?
Well, Tony...
He stands and walks around to him.
Nobody wants a war. If we can't do business, why, we'll just shake hands and that'll be it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Tony takes his hand to shake it. The Joker grips Tony's hand until smoke rises from it. Tony's body begins to shake uncontrollably.
Oh, I got a live one here.
The Joker releases his grip and Tony's charred remains fall back onto a chair. The Joker blows at a small electrical device on his palm. Then four leather-clad gunmen burst in and surround the table. They're Jack's goons from the Axis fiasco.
Antoine got a little hot under the collar.
You're crazy.
Had you ever heard of the healing power of laughter?
He mops his brow with a green silk handkerchief, wiping some skin-colored makeup off, revealing his deathly pallor.
Now get out of here!
You heard him, let's go! Stupid, move it!
Move it!
Then think it over.
Let's go!
Come on, get out of here!
The gunmen roughly push the crime lords out with their guns. Once they're gone, the Joker turns to his chief goon, Bob, a short-whiskered man with lank fair hair to his shoulders. He beckons him closer.
Once you go down to the Globe, follow that reporter, Knox, take your camera. See what he knows about this Batman. And Bob.
He squeezes Bob's arms.
Remember, you are my number one guy.
Yes, sir.
Bob dons his shades and goes. The Joker grins demonically. Knox hands Bruce Wayne's file to Vicky at the Gotham Globe.
Ah, I need that.
I'm losing confidence in you. I thought we were a team.
This wouldn't be a personal issue for you, would it?
She glances up at him.
I just want you to do your job.
I am doing my job.
Me too. I'm protecting my partner.
There's nothing in these files. No photos, no histories, no nothing. Where's this guy?
Who cares?
She thrusts the file back at him, then goes.
Forget about Bruce Wayne. I'm onto Batman.
It's overcast and dull. Bruce, in overcoat, leaves his castle and gets into his black sedan. The electronic gates open and he drives out. Vicky, wearing a black wool hat pulled down over her forehead, sits in her beige hatchback, watching him depart. Vicky pulls up at a curb in Gotham and gets out of her car. Wearing a long layered black coat which falls loosely round her, she hurries across the street after Bruce, who's striding on, head slightly bent forward, and wearing dark shades. She peers round a corner and watches him disappear down an alley. She follows. Bruce walks towards a run-down, deserted small hotel. He pauses beside it and looks round. He takes two long-stemmed red roses, wrapped in white paper, out from under his overcoat and stoops down. He unwraps the roses and drops them onto the pavement, then stands up, removes his shades, and stares solemnly at the flowers for a few moments. Bruce looks up, dons his shades, and walks on. Vicky steps up to the roses and bends down to pick them up, puzzled and thoughtful. Knox stands on steps outside Gotham City Hall with a group of other news hacks. He holds a recorder to his ear. Bruce walks towards the building as a small group gather when Vinny, a large mustachioed crime lord, walks out surrounded by the remainder of Grissom's gangsters. The hacks gather round.
They should be out here any second. I can't wait to hear the explanation for this one.
Here it comes, man.
So what's this affidavit you filed? Grissom gave you all his businesses?
Mr. Grissom asked me, as a personal favor, to take over the operation of his businesses until he returns.
Oh, that's a pretty big favor. You two must have been very close.
Very close.
Did you do a little time together as children?
Vicky hurries up to the gathering and looks amongst the crowd. She's wearing a camera around her neck. Bruce stands at the back of the crowd watching. A figure dressed in a black and white striped top, with black trousers and braces and a black beret, shuffles up with contorted mime movements. His distended tummy hangs out over his trousers. His white face is painted like Piero's, with red lips, black arched brows, and a tear drawn on his cheek. He pats a boy on the head, then turns to face Bruce and waves to him. Bruce stares at him unsmilingly. The Piero figure mimes moving his hands along a wall. Another Piero figure appears at the top of the steps, as Bob the Goon pops his head round a pillar to snap photos.
Our counsel looking into this. We assure you the affidavit is legitimate.
Bob snaps photos of the gathering on the steps. Knox poses a question to Vinny.
I smell fresh ink, guys. Now you can prove all this. What am I asking? Of course you can.
We have witnesses. Grissom's signature is perfectly legitimate.
It is legitimate!
The Joker in hat and tails.
I saw it. I was there. I saw it all. He reached up his dead hand and signed it in his own blood. And he did it with this pen.
He holds up a quill.
Hello, Vinny. It's your Uncle Bingo. Time to pay the check.
He flings it at Vinny, stabbing him in the throat with it. Vinny falls backwards. The Joker swings round to the crowd and removes his hat.
The pen is truly mightier than the sword.
His goons, all dressed as Piero, open fire, shooting indiscriminately. Everyone dives for cover. Bruce remains standing. Vicky, crouched down behind a car, calls out to him. A shot whizzes through the arm of Bruce's coat, but he seems unaware of it. He stares in shock as the Joker picks his way over the cowering crowd towards a getaway car. His goons follow. Bruce walks towards the car. The Joker waves through the window at him as the car speeds away. Vicky rushes up to Bruce and grabs his arm. He spins round, still in shock, then turns to watch the Joker and his goons escape. A TV news reporter questions the mayor and Harvey Dent on the steps of City Hall.
Doesn't this gang war dampen the city's plans for the 200th anniversary festival?
The festival opens. The police are going to stop these gangsters.
Mr. Dent, what do you think of the theory that the mysterious Batman is a mob enforcer killing these
people? I don't have any comment, no.
The Joker smashes a TV screen with a red boxing glove attached to a long mechanical arm.
Batman. Can somebody tell me what kind of a world we live in where a man dressed up as a bat gets all of my press?
He looks at Bob the goon.
This town needs an enema.
He has a party blower. Alfred pours a glass of water in the library at the castle. Bruce hurries in, handing him his coat.
Alfred, I have a glass of water.
Alfred spots the bullet hole in the coat.
I'm relieved that you're home, sir.
Miss Vale telephoned. She was rather concerned. I feel that there's a certain weight that lifts when she is here.
Bruce eyes him wryly.
Alfred, why don't you marry her?
That's not exactly what I had in mind, sir.
He smiles gently at Bruce, who slumped on a sofa looking wearied.
I know. I can't go on with that right now.
If not now.
Alfred sits on the arm of the sofa.
When?
Bruce glances at him and shakes his head.
I don't know.
He sits forward.
I just found out Jack Napier's still alive. He's running Grissom's men. I need all the information the police have on him.
Alfred nods.
Yes, sir.
He gets up.
Thank you.
Alfred heads away. Bruce stares at the ground.
Alfred. She is great, isn't she?
Yes, sir.
Alfred goes. Vicky sits at a table in her huge, luxurious cream apartment and dials.
City room, Knox.
Hi.
Hi.
I want you to check something out for me, okay?
Shoot.
Find out what's so special about the alley at Pearl and Phillips Street.
Pearl and Phillips?
Yeah.
You got it.
Okay. Okay, bye.
On the table in front of her are black and white photos of Bruce outside the small hotel in the alley. She picks one up, looks at it, and shakes her head.
Mr. Wayne.
Photographs lie discarded on a desk at the Joker's makeshift base, beside a CIA file for DDID nerve gas. The word discontinued has been stamped across it. Odd bits of furniture, a couple of armchairs, a few lamps and a television are scattered around. The Joker sits at a table beside a wall of pipes and valves, cutting up photographs. Bob the goon approaches him.
So much to do in so little time.
The photos.
The first photos of Knox.
Who is that loss?
It's Knox.
Bad tie. No style.
The next one's of Vicky. He's impressed.
Stop the press. Who is that?
That's Vicky Vale. She's the photographer who's working with Knox.
Now that girl has style. Jesus Marimba. Lovely beast like that running around could put steam in a man's strides.
She's dating some guy named Wayne.
She's about to trade up.
He cuts around her image.
Hard to stay inside the lines. I'm about...
He holds up the cutout of Vicky.
To get a new girl, Bobby.
He stands up and grins.
I'm of a mind to make some mookie. Phone book?
Yes, sir.
Bob goes. Shredded photos are scattered all over the floor.
So much to do. And so little time.
He kisses the photo and dances around the room with purple coattails flapping behind him. Night. A van drives out through the outer gates of Access Chemicals and the gates are closed behind it. Inside, a white-haired balding man stands by a conveyor belt as a batch of canisters trails by. The Joker in purple tails, hat and bow tie shouts down from a higher level.
Have you shipped a million of those things?
Yes, sir!
Ship them all! We're gonna take them out a whole new door!
A TV newsroom prepares to broadcast action news.
10 seconds of transmission.
The news anchor man and woman ready themselves.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Cue music.
Good evening. The fashion world was stunned today by the sudden deaths of models Candy Walker and Amanda Keeler. Cause of death has been attributed to a violent allergic reaction, although authorities have not ruled out the possibility of drug use. Peter.
And plans continue for the city's 200th birthday. As Mayor Borg announced today, the unveiling...
He's passed a report.
This just in. 3 mysterious deaths at a beauty parlor in...
Embarrassed, Becky the anchorwoman composes herself. The producer frowns.
At a beauty parlor in Gotham were discovered today.
Becky loses control.
Barry, what the hell's going on?
Becky, this is hardly the... Becky!
She falls over.
Kill a camera.
This is Renee on the news floor. Dane, I need some paramedics up here now.
Suddenly, the Joker appears on TV, pushing a shopping trolley down an aisle in a supermarket.
New and improved Joker products! With a new secret ingredient!
A bottle.
Smiley.
What is it?
The producer's on the control panel.
Let's go over to our blind taste test.
The dead models.
Love that Joker.
Where's it coming from?
I don't know.
A man's bound to a chair.
He don't look happy. He's been using Brand X.
A second man has a garish grin on his face.
Joker brand. I get a grin again and again.
The dead Becky's got a manic grin on her face.
That luscious tan. Those ruby lips and hair color. So natural. Only your undertaker knows for sure.
Bruce watches his TV.
I know what you're saying. Where can I get these fine new items? Well, that's the gang. Chances are, you bought them already.
Love that Joker.
So remember, put on a happy face.
Alfred brings a file to Bruce.
The information you requested, sir.
Bruce switches off the TV and opens the file on Jack Napier.
Jack Napier. Assault with a deadly weapon, age 15. Results of psychological profile. Violent mood swings, highly intelligent, emotionally unstable. Aptitudes include science, chemistry, and art.
Bruce looks up.
Chemistry.
He closes the file and leans back in his seat, deep in thought.
Alfred, let's go shopping.
Yes, sir.
A newspaper headline screams, cosmetic scare in Gotham. Product tampering claims 13 lives. Who is the mysterious Joker? Action news.
6 new deaths, with no clues as to the Joker's deadly weapon.
Peter.
And what is the pattern? Foods, alcohol, or beauty and hygiene products? Cologne, mouthwash, underarm deodorant?
Or worse yet, there may be no pattern. The search goes on through Gotham's shopping nightmare.
The mayor.
We are going to have a festival if I have to get a shotgun and get people there myself. Do you hear the words coming out of my mouth? Then the festival is on. And you find out what this madman is poisoning us with and fast. Do you read me?
Den turns to him.
We're working on it. I need all the help I can get.
Alfred sets his bowler hat down and presses a button on a telephone.
It's Vicky. I'm sorry, but I'm going to be 10 minutes late to the museum, okay? I'll see you when I get there. Bye.
Alfred picks up the receiver and dials.
Sir, a message from Miss Vale. She'll be 10 minutes late in meeting you at the museum.
Okay, fine. Thank you. Wait a minute, Alfred. I'm not meeting her today.
At Grissom's place, the Joker stands in front of a mirror, applying skin-colored makeup over his stark white face. Alicia steps in behind him, wearing a freakily white face mask with red lips and round black holes for her eyes.
Jack, where are you going?
He turns round to face her.
Daddy's going to make some art, darling.
She stares at him with vacant eyes. Night. Vicky, in a long white coat, hurries up the steps to the Flugelheim Museum. She heads into the entrance hall hung with works by the great masters of art and leans across the desk towards an attendant. He points upwards. She nods, then hurries up a sweeping marble staircase. Upstairs, she taps the shoulder of a maitre d'.
Excuse me. Mr. Wayne's table?
Yes, he hasn't arrived yet. We have a table waiting.
He leads her through a dining room to a table. She sets a portfolio down and he takes her coat. Wearing a cornflower blue wraparound dress, she is seated. She fluffs her long hair and waits. Some time later, Vicky is tapping her unvarnished nails on the table and leaning on her elbow. She checks her watch, sighs, and looks fed up. The maitre d' brings over a small white box, decorated with colourful ribbon, and sets it down in front of her.
Miss Vale, this just arrived for you.
He goes. She stares at the box and looks round, confused. A card on the box reads, "Urgent," written in red. She tentatively throws open the lid of the box. Inside's a tiny gas mask. She picks up a card which reads, "Put this on right now." A greyish-blue mist pours out of the air vents into the dining room. It engulfs a waiter, who drops unconscious onto a table, then rolls onto the floor. Vicky turns round to see the room fill with a thick mist and quickly covers her nose and mouth with a mask. Everywhere, diners collapse where they sit, dropping face down into their food or falling onto the floor. A waiter drops crockery and tumbles down the staircase. A couple sitting on the stair rail fall over it to the ground. Doors slide open. Bodies lie strewn here and there across the museum floor. The Joker, dandy in purple tails with a flower in his buttonhole, steps in with his goons.
Gentlemen, let's broaden our minds. Lawrence!
Lawrence switches on a large stereo, which he carries on his shoulder, and they all bounce down some steps and dance across the floor. The Joker tips a small sculpture off its pillar, and they all set to work destroying the museum's paintings and sculptures. The Joker points to a painting of Abraham Lincoln.
Give me the shade. Pedants, brush.
The Joker takes a brush and paints in purple, "Joker was here," across one painting. The goons in bomber jackets and shades set to work. One uses pink paint to destroy an Edgar Degas painting of ballerinas. A bust of a young boy is ruined by another. Rembrandt's self-portrait is defaced with pink handprints. The Joker takes the pose of a small sculpture of a dancer before knocking it off its plinth. Then he skips and hops, leading three of his sidekicks up the staircase as tins of orange, green and blue paint are flung over the works of Degas, Renoir and Vermeer as a woman holding a balance. On the way upstairs, Gainsborough's blue boy is spray-painted, as is Gilbert Stuart's portrait of George Washington.
$1 bill.
He pauses at Francis Bacon's strange and disturbing figure with meat and stops Bob the goon from slashing it with a knife.
I kind of like this one, Bob. Leave it.
Vicky still sits at her table in the dining room, holding the mask over her nose and mouth. The Joker and goons bop over to her. Lawrence switches the stereo off. Another goon puts a silver candelabra, champagne and two glasses on the table. The Joker sits opposite her.
You can take that off now, I think.
A shaking Vicky lowers the mask from her face.
Beautiful. In an old-fashioned kind of way. But I'm sure we can make you more today.
He ignites candles with a blast of flame from a lighter.
Is that your portfolio?
I'm meeting someone who wants to see my work.
He picks up the portfolio and begins to flick through the photos.
Crap. Crap. Crap.
He comes to the time cover for the Quarter Maltese Revolution and the pictures.
Now that's good work.
He studies a photo of a body on the ground.
The skulls, the bodies, you give it all such a glow. I don't know if it's art, but I like it.
He stands up.
Let me tell you what I'm thinking about, sweetie. I was in the bath one day when I realized why I was destined for greatness. You know how concerned people are about appearances. This is attractive, that is not. Well, that is all behind me. I now do what other people only dream. I make art until someone dies. See? I am the world's first fully functioning homicidal artist.
Vicky's taken aback.
What do you want?
My face on the $1 bill.
You must be joking.
Do I look like I'm joking?
No.
Listen, we mustn't compare ourselves to regular people. We're artists. For instance, let me challenge you with a little piece I did. Bob, Alicia, you will take pictures and record my work. You will join me in the avant-garde of the new aesthetic.
Jack, you said I could watch you improve the paintings.
Oh, I'm in trouble now.
Why is she wearing a mask?
Well, she's just a sketch, really. Alicia, sit down. Show the lady why you wear the mask. You see, Miss Vale, Alicia's been made over in line with my new philosophy, so now, like me, she is a living work of art.
Alicia removes her mask. Half her face is disfigured with hideous puckered scars.
I'm no Picasso, but do you like it?
Vicky recoils.
Great. So, what can I do for you?
Oh, a little song, a little dance. Batman's head on a lance. Tell me, what do you know about?
I don't know anything about Batman.
Really? Yeah. Well, how about a little you and me?
Vicky backs up.
You're insane.
I thought I was a Pisces. Come on, let's make up. Have a little whiff of my poesy.
He squirts acid from his buttonhole flower. Vicky darts away, then chucks a jug of water over him. The Joker holds his hands to his face, writhing. Vicky pats his back pitifully. The Joker spins round, his chalk-white face is exposed.
Boo!
Batman smashes through the glass ceiling and drops down to the floor. He grabs hold of Vicky and points his batgun at the Joker, then fires two darts from it to pierce opposite walls. He rises up with her.
Hold on.
They sail up and over the banisters and soar towards the main double doors along a taut wire held in place by the darts. The Joker watches, eyes agog, as Batman crashes through the doors.
Get those wonderful toys.
Get the car.
Which one?
She's speechless when she sees a long, black, sleek car, like a Chevrolet Impala chassis, but with a low-slung body and fenders shaped like bat wings over the back wheels. The top slides forward, and she hurries with Batman to get in as the Joker and his goons run out of the museum. The roof slides over Batman and Vicky, and with a powerful burst of energy, the Batmobile takes off through the streets of Gotham. The Joker and his goons follow in their two green and purple cars. Ripping through the dark and dank streets of Gotham, the Joker's goons race over overflowing bins of decaying rubbish, sending it flying across the street. Vicky glances at Batman, who stares straight ahead. The Batmobile roars through the streets with the purple and green cars in their wake, and with the Joker's henchmen firing at them as they go. Two cop cars pick up their trail and speed along behind. A bullet whizzes past Vicky. Batman releases a grapple hook from one of the Batmobile's wheels. The hook wraps around a steel girder on a street corner, making the Batmobile swing round. One of the Joker's cars racing after it swings wide. A truck carrying industrial pipes and a car coming in the opposite direction crash into it. The pileup grows as a second truck loaded with vegetables careers into the wreckage, then the other purple and green car skids into it, then the cop cars arrive. The Batmobile cruises on down a street just as a huge bulldozer goes to cross in front of it. Batman brakes. Just in time, the Batmobile comes to a halt.
Let's go.
Batman hops out, then turns and helps Vicky to climb out. Onlookers gather round. A couple of cop cars arrive as Vicky and Batman run on. They turn into a dark and dank alley. Batman gives an instruction as he goes.
Shields.
Suddenly, black shields slide around the Batmobile, encasing it completely in armor-like plating. One of the Joker's green and purple cars speeds away from the pileup. Batman's leading Vicky down a street when the Joker's car arrives. Batman pulls Vicky back as the Joker's car skids to a turn with the goons hanging out the windows shooting at them. Batman and Vicky have run into an alley with a dead end. Batman looks up above them and sees a gantry.
How much do you weigh?
About 108, I think.
The Joker's car is heading straight for them. Batman takes out his batgun, points it at the gantry, then shoots a grapple hook from it. It flies through the air and loops around a steel bar.
Hold on.
He puts his arm round her. She hangs onto him as he hoists her off the ground as the Joker's car races down the alley, braking at the dead end. Batman and Vicky come to a sudden halt.
See that thing on my belt? Grab it.
The grapple gun.
Whatever you do, don't let go.
He releases her and she soars up to the gantry. Batman drops to the ground, landing near the Joker's car. A goon leans over him. Batman kicks him back. Another goon knocks him out. Two goons shoot him. Vicky climbs onto the gantry. The goons stare at Batman.
No blood. Hey, who is this guy?
Check his wallet.
One pokes his body shield.
Wait a minute.
What is that?
Some kind of body armor. He's human after all.
Take off the mask.
Vicky leans over the gantry with her camera as one of them goes to lift Batman's mask. The light flashes as she snaps a photo.
Shooter!
They turn their guns on Vicky, who darts back out of sight. Batman leaps to his feet and sends a goon flying over the bonnet of the car with a punch. Vicky pokes the camera over the edge of the gantry and continues snapping as Batman demolishes the goons one by one with kicks and punches. Batman glances up and sees Vicky dart out of sight again. A goon somersaults towards him, landing on his feet in front of him. He pulls two swords from a shield on his back and moves towards Batman, rapidly waving the swords over and back above his head, in kickboxing martial arts style. Batman stands stock still, facing him. The goon charges towards him. Batman fends him off with his arms, then holds up one hand and pushes the goon back. Vicky keeps snapping. The goon charges again. Batman knocks him out with a single kick. Bob rises from his hiding place, dagger drawn. Batman beckons him closer. Bob drops the dagger and scarpers. Vicky removes the film from her camera and drops it down the inside of her dress. Batman instructs Batmobile.
Shield's open.
The armor-type casing shields slide back, revealing the Batmobile again. Gotham citizens gasp and lean closer. Cops hold them back. The headlights come on and Batmobile takes off, heading on down a street. Cop cars race after it, but the svelte, puma-like Batmobile is far ahead. Vicky climbs down to the ground from the gantry and turns to see Batman standing behind her.
Ah! You weigh a little more than 108.
Oh, really?
Let's go.
He leads her out of the alley, then holds an object to his mouth and issues an order to Batmobile.
Stop.
Batmobile stops just inches from him. Batmobile drives on into the night, away from the city, over a path strewn with dead leaves and flanked by tall, spindly trees. Batman stares ahead and races on through the trees. Only a little pale moonlight filters through the dark and eerie wood. Vicky watches Batman curiously. She frowns.
Where are we going?
She looks at him, waiting for an answer. Batman blinks but doesn't look at her, then presses his foot down on the accelerator. Batmobile screams on down a wet, winding road, surging ahead. Batmobile rips on through the countryside, its golden headlights burning into the night, kicking up a swirl of dead leaves as it goes. Vicky, with dirty smudges on her face and disheveled hair, eyes Batman cautiously and with wonder. She studies his profile and leans closer. Batman's eyes dart round to her. He flicks a light switch on her. She blinks and pulls back, then turns to face front. Batmobile appears to drive straight through a wall. Vicky uncovers her eyes and peers out the window as Batmobile rockets through a tunnel. Vicky glances at Batman, then rests her forehead against her hand and shakes her head. Finally, Batmobile comes to a halt on a circular steel platform. The top slides forward and Batman gets out. Vicky looks round in bewilderment, then stands up and climbs out and gazes round her shadowy surrounds.
Be careful.
He pulls a lever on a wall and a door slides open, throwing light on their surroundings. They're in a cave. Vicky jumps back from the edge of a precipice and looks up.
They're great survivors.
A single bat hangs upside down in a cage near the doorway. Vicky follows Batman through the door and along a path through a cavern. Batman mounts some steps towards a platform, on which are mounted a bank of computer screens. He sits down and flicks a switch. The screens light up with information. Vicky steps up behind him.
What is all this?
The police have got it wrong. They're looking for one product. The Joker has tainted hundreds of chemicals at the source.
She leans towards him. He turns away.
And all shipments of products would be poisoned. And we'd all be dead.
No. The poison only works when the components are mixed. Hairspray won't do it alone, but hairspray mixed with lipstick and perfume will be toxic and untraceable.
How did you figure this out?
He stands up, quickly moving away from her prying eyes. He picks up a large brown envelope and chucks it over at her.
I might have some trouble with that. A lot of people think you're as dangerous as the Joker.
He's psychotic.
Some people say the same thing about you.
What people?
Well, I mean, let's face it. You're not exactly normal, are you?
It's not exactly a normal world, is it?
Why did you bring me here? Well, you could have sent that stuff to the press yourself.
You're right. There is something else you have that I want.
What?
He sweeps his winged cloak over her. Mousy brown-colored bat's wings flap in the darkness. Vicky lies face down across the end of her bed. She's still wearing her cornflower blue dress. She wakes and throws her hair back from her face. She pats around her breast, then frowns.
Oh, I took the film.
She picks up the phone.
Yeah.
Knocks.
Val, where have you been? Are you all right? Do you want me to come on over?
No, Allie. Allie, if I bring something to you, can we make the evening edition?
He checks his watch.
Just barely. Is it hot?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's real hot. Yeah, bye.
Copy!
Yes, sir?
A stack of Gotham Globes is delivered to a news vendor. The headline reads, Batman cracks Joker's poison code. Citizens told to avoid the following products. Action News.
Avoid the following combinations. Deodorants with baby powder, hairspray, and lipstick. Safe products are flying in as Gotham City goes on a forced fast. And all of Gotham is wondering what to make of Batman. Friend or foe?
The Joker.
I have given a name to my pain. Mysterious figure, and it is Batman. Appear and disappear at
will. He shoots a TV screen. Bob ducks.
You must possess strength to inflict pain, Bob. We've got a flying mouse to kill, and I want to clean my claws.
He hands his gun to Bob. At the Batcave, Alfred brings Bruce a pot of coffee.
Sir, Miss Vale called again. Dare I suggest that your present course of action might simply strengthen her resolve?
She is quite tenacious.
He hands Bruce a cup.
You're right about that.
And if I may say so, quite special. Perhaps you could try telling her the truth.
Alfred goes. Bruce sips his coffee and glances after him thoughtfully. Bruce arrives at Vicky's front door and rings the bell.
Coming.
She opens the door, dressed in a short, fitted black dress. Bruce holds out a large pink carnation.
Hi.
She eyes him coolly. He drops his arm and adjusts his spectacles.
Beckman.
She turns her back to him and walks away from the door. Bruce steps in and pushes the door closed after him. The apartment's large and stylish.
It's a nice apartment.
He follows her to the open-plan kitchen.
Lots of space.
He takes off his glasses. She's still got her back to him.
Listen, I came over to clear a few things.
I don't know who you think you are. You hurt me.
I know. Look.
I called you when I called you.
I know.
And you lied. Well, you lied to me about leaving town.
Well, let me tell you why.
Let me tell you. You invited me out, we went to dinner, I thought we
right.
felt something,
well,
and I trusted you,
to...
and I even slept with you, I can't believe I did
well,
that. And then you wouldn't return my phone calls? You must be some kind of jerk.
Look, you're a real nice girl, and I like you a lot, but for right now, shut up. I have something I have to tell you.
He straightens up, swallows, and licks his lips.
You know how people have different sides to their personality?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes a person will have to actually lead a different life.
Oh, my God, you're married.
No, I'm not married.
He walks away from her and flings off his coat, then paces back to her.
You see, my life is really complex.
She nods blankly.
All right, listen. You know how a normal person gets up and goes downstairs and eats breakfast and kisses somebody goodbye and goes to a job and, you know.
No.
No. All right, look.
He looks at the floor, then at her.
Vicky, what I'm trying to tell you is...
Hey.
It's okay. You can tell me. Okay.
She takes his hands. She nods encouragingly.
What I'm trying to tell you is... See, huh?
She stands up.
I'll be right back.
She pats his cheek and leaves a frustrated Bruce mouthing, "I'm Batman," to himself. As Vicky walks towards the door, it's burst open by Lawrence. Behind him stands the Joker, then Bob, carrying a large cardboard box.
It's me?
Bruce stares at him in shock, then quickly darts out of sight. The Joker, in a green and purple ensemble, glances round.
Nice place you've got here. Lots of space.
He grabs her arm.
Vicky, we really have a talk. Very upset.
Bruce picks up a silver tray.
We're having dinner. I was a man doing well with a beautiful woman. And without so much as an apology, you ran off with that sideshow phony.
He releases her arm and stands by a fireplace, casting his eyes down sorrowfully.
You know, Vic...
She glances round frantically.
I've recently had a tragedy in my life. Alicia...
He places her mask on a mantelpiece.
Threw herself out of the window.
Oh, my God.
With a maniacal grin, he blinks and stares at her.
But... You can't make an omelette without breaking some eggs.
He smashes Alicia's mask with his fist. Vicky picks up a bowl of popcorn from the mantelpiece and holds it in front of her defensively. Bruce steps into view. The Joker spins round, then looks back at Vicky.
Well, Ms. Vale, another rooster in the henhouse.
He saunters past Bruce.
Take thy beak from out my heart.
He flicks the stereo off as he strolls past Lawrence.
Bruce?
Bruce Wayne. Nespa?
Bruce walks up to him.
Most of the time.
Bob the goon draws his gun as Bruce approaches the Joker. The Joker looks at him and shakes his head.
I know who you are.
The Joker stares at him and listens.
Let me tell you about this guy I know, Jack. Mean kid, bad seed, hurt people. I like him already.
Bob the goon joins in his laugh.
Now, you know what the problem was? He got sloppy, you know, crazy. He started to lose it. He had a head full of bad wiring, I guess. Couldn't keep it straight up here.
Picking up a shard of Alicia's mask.
He was the kind of guy who couldn't hear the train till it was 2 feet from him.
The Joker grins and nods. Bruce furtively picks up a poker. Vicky steps aside.
What happened to this guy, Jack?
Jack shakes his head.
Wow.
He steps towards Jack.
Mistakes. And then he had us.
Now you want to get nuts? Come on, let's get nuts.
He holds up the poker.
Tell me something, my friend.
He points a pistol at Bruce.
You ever dance with the devil in the pale moonlight?
Bruce frowns.
What? I always ask that of all my prey. I just like the sound of it.
He shoots Bruce, who falls back against the wall and slides down into the floor. Bob restrains Vicky.
Never rub another man's rhubarb.
He peers down at Bruce, who slumped against the wall with his eyes closed, then turns to Vicky.
Why is it every time we get comfy?
He grabs her.
Somebody always gets in the way. I'll need a moment alone, boys.
Bob and Lawrence go.
I'm only laughing on the outside. My smile is just skin deep. If you could see inside, I'm really crying.
He pretends to sob.
You might join me for a weep.
He backs towards the front door, pointing at Vicky, who stares at him terrified. Waving his arms, he steps through the door and blows a raspberry. Then bending forward, he buzzes away. Vicky turns and runs to where Bruce was left lying. She stops in her tracks. He's disappeared. The poker lies on the carpet, surrounded by broken pieces of a vase that Bruce smashed. The silver tray lies across it. Vicky picks it up, then drops it. She walks to the box tied with a green bow that Bob carried in. She unties it. A mechanical fist pops up, holding dried flowers. Vicky faints. At the Gotham Globe newsroom, Vicky sits on a chair in a quiet corner with her head resting in her hand. Nock stands, leaning against the wall, holding a coffee.
You wouldn't believe it. You really wouldn't.
Well, while you were out entertaining, I've been here finding out about your street corner.
He sits down.
Vale. I think your friend Wayne is really screwed up.
More good news.
He switches on a computer screen.
Here.
A Gotham Globe front page pops up with a headline, Thomas Wayne murdered, only child survives.
Oh my God.
His parents were murdered in that alley. That's why he went there.
Knox scrolls a page. A picture of a little boy.
Poor kid watched the whole thing happen in front of him.
Look at the look on the face. It was the same in front of City Hall.
What do you suppose something like this does to a kid?
Vicky stares at the screen, then suddenly gets up and walks away.
Vale, don't get personal!
A wearied Bruce is in the Batcave, leaning against a large screen showing a map of Axis Chemicals. A map of Gotham City is on another screen behind him. He steps across the platform and leans over a railing to call to Alfred.
Alfred.
Alfred looks up.
Did you get the file on my parents?
It's on your table, sir.
Thank you.
Bruce lifts up the file and opens it. Alfred stands by a large safe which contains Batman's bodysuit and leather-winged cape.
What's on your mind, Alfred?
Alfred closes the door of the safe.
I have no wish to fill my few remaining years grieving for the loss of old friends.
He turns to look up at Bruce.
Or their sons.
Then turns and walks away. Bruce watches him go, then closes the file. In Gotham Central, the Mayor, Commissioner Gordon, D.A. Harvey Dent and others, dressed in somber black, descend the steps of the City Hall towards a set of microphones. The Mayor is about to read a statement which is televised. He taps a mic.
The 200th anniversary birthday gala has been indefinitely postponed. We simply cannot guarantee public safety.
Joker here.
You got interference. Call the OB unit, will you?
Now, you fellas have said some pretty mean things, some of which were true. Under that fiend, Boss Grissom. He was a thief and a terrorist. On the other hand, he had a tremendous singing voice. He's dead now, and he's left me in charge. Now, I can be theatrical and maybe even a little rough, but one thing I am not is a killer.
People listen half-heartedly.
I am an artist. Love a good party. So, truce. Commence au festival. And I've got a surprise for Gotham City. At midnight, I will dump 20 million in cash on the crowd.
Interest grows amongst the people of Gotham.
Don't worry about me. I've got enough.
We are not prepared to discuss any deals.
The Joker pushes the mayor off screen.
You heard it, folks. 20 million. And there will be entertainment. The Big Dookaroo. With me in one corner and in the other corner. The man who has brought real terror to Gotham City. Batman. Can you hear me? Just the two of us. Mano y mano. I have taken off my makeup. Let's see. If you can take off yours.
Bruce sits in his leather chair watching the Joker's address. He leans towards his control panel and switches the report off. The Joker's image, with his skin-coloured makeup carefully applied to camouflage his white skin, and his green hair dyed a more natural shade, is frozen on the bank of monitors facing Bruce. Bruce frowns and picks up the Police Department Gotham City file on his parents once again. Police report unsolved is printed on the front cover. He opens it and looks at a newspaper cutting with the headline, Thomas Wayne Murder, Prominent Doctor, Wife Slain in Robbery. He removes his glasses and stares at the article. He lifts his eyes. A deep furrow lines his brow as the memories come flooding back. A doorman in a long brown coat trimmed with gold buttons stands at the doors to the Monarch Theatre as people file out. A smart, well-dressed couple with a child step out, Bruce's parents. His mother, a pretty woman with brown hair tucked into a little hat, wearing a dark coat with a fur collar and a double string of ivory pearls round her neck, strokes young Bruce's hair. His father smiles. They walk on. Two men follow a short distance behind. The family turn into a deserted alley. Bruce carries a bag of popcorn in one arm and holds his mother's hand. As they walk on down the alley towards a small hotel at the other end, a shadowy figure lurks in a doorway. A thin veil of mist wafts about them cloyingly. Little Bruce looks over his shoulder. A tall man, his features hidden in the dark shadows, stands watching as Bruce's parents pause and turn round. His sidekick, A whiskered man in a greatcoat and grey trilby stands behind them. He lurches forward and rips the pearls from Bruce's mother's neck. Bruce's father intervenes. Bruce's father is shot. A second bullet hits his mother. Pearls and popcorn tumble to the ground. Little Bruce looks round, his large brown eyes filled with fear. The man in the shadows is pointing a gun.
Tell me, you ever dance with the devil by the pale moonlight?
He points the gun at the child and steps out of the shadows. The man has a cruel grin. His sidekick in the grey trilby calls to him.
Man, let's go!
The sidekick starts to run.
Let's go, Jack!
Jack cocks his gun at little Bruce, then looks back at his sidekick. He withdraws the gun and disappears into the night, leaving Bruce alone beside the bodies of his parents. Grown-up Bruce looks up and stares at the frozen image of Jack on one of his screens. Alfred, in black dinner jacket, bow tie and wing-collared shirt, leads Vicky up the steps to the platform and steps aside. Bruce spins round. She smiles at Alfred and he goes. Bruce quickly stands up and puts down his parents' file. She faces him.
Tell me if I'm crazy.
She steps round the platform.
But that wasn't just another night for either of us, was it?
He steps towards her.
I mean, we both got to each other, didn't we?
He stands looking out over the platform.
Why won't you let me in? Why?
He turns to look at her.
You got in.
He steps away from her.
I've loved you since I met you. But I don't know what to think of all this. I really don't.
Look, sometimes I don't know what to think about this. It's just something I have to do.
Why?
Because nobody else can.
They're inches apart.
Look, I tried to avoid all this, but I can't. This is how it is. It's not a perfect world.
It doesn't have to be a perfect world.
She turns her back to him.
I just gotta know, are we gonna try to love each other?
He lowers his eyes for a moment, then nods.
I'd like to. But he's out there right now. And I've gotta go to work.
He goes. The heavy safe door is pulled open. Bruce becomes Batman, donning the perfectly molded bodysuit with its muscle definition across the chest, the full-length leather-winged cape with its Batmotif badge, the fitted black leather mask with its long pointed ears, and the gold belt. The Batmobile crashes through the gates of Axis Chemicals. A goon shoots at it as it speeds towards the chemical plant, cutting an opening through a door with rapid machine gun fire. It speeds through the building as the Joker's goons in bomber jackets shoot at it. It seems impenetrable. Batmobile comes to a stop, and the protective shields around it slide closed. The goons run towards it, surrounding it, firing continuously. A round ball emerges from a hole in the outer plate. The goons pause and gawp at it. The ball drops to the ground. Axis Chemicals blows. The whole plant erupts in fireballs of orange flame. Batmobile races through the building, completely intact as the building explodes in its wake. Clouds of smoke catapult through the air. Bricks and debris fly about. Tanks, funnels and pipes detonate one after the other. The elegant, sleek Batmobile slows to a stop beside Batman. A helicopter hovers overhead. The Joker shouts down through a loudspeaker.
General of the air, Junior Birdman! Miss me? Yeah, watch me!
He grins and waves to Batman before the helicopter carries him away. In Gotham City, the party's just beginning. A huge balloon of a grinning Pinocchio-type character floats through the air and emerges from an alley. People spill out onto the street from a crowded diner into the chill night and are drawn towards it. The Pinocchio balloon leads a float of a giant birthday cake on which the Joker and his cronies are perched, bopping to the music.
Just who do you? Just what makes you a real lover? Trust. I put this question to you, 'cause I want you to be with me.
The Joker, sitting on an ornate silver throne with purple velvet upholstery on top of the 200th birthday cake, revels in the attention, grinning hysterically and waving his arms. The crowd gather on both sides of the float, smiling and holding their hands up greedily. The Joker looks round, drinking in their hungry enthusiasm. His goons hold up handfuls of dollar bills from black plastic bags. The crowd urge them to toss the money, and they do. The Joker stands up with fistfuls of money and lets it float from his hands like dead leaves. The float reaches the Monarch Theatre. Dollars rain down on the citizens. Throngs stand outside Gotham City Hall, holding their hands above their heads, plucking money from the air. The Joker grabs cash from under his long purple coat and thrusts it at the people. The float sails on slowly with people milling around it, jumping to catch and share in the Joker's promised millions. Situated behind the giant cake, a searchlight scans the sky. The Joker looks delirious, wildly tossing money and more money at the people. Vicky pulls up in a car and jumps out. Dressed in a long white coat with her blonde locks tumbling down her back, she picks up her camera and starts snapping the people. Knox gets out of the driver's side and glances at her.
Get him! Take the pictures! Gotham's green!
Vicky snaps photos. She focuses on a large cardboard box by the float. A small, perfectly formed plane, shaped like a bat with its wings spread, spins round in a midnight blue sky. Batman is its pilot. He takes the Batplane into a dive towards the looming and eerie Gotham City. On the ground, a microphone is handed to the Joker.
And now, folks, it's time for who do you trust? Hubba, 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 money, money, money. Who do you trust? Me? I'm giving away free money. And where is the Batman? He's at home, washing his tights.
He looks up to see a winged shape circling the threatening skies.
Winged Battle flies through the night and finds me ready, Bob. Mask.
Mask, put him on now!
Fine! And now...
He picks up a remote control.
Comes the part... where I relieve you, the little people, of the burden of your failed and useless lives. But as my plastic surgeon always said, if you gotta go, go with a smile.
He presses a gas mask over his nose and mouth, holds up the transmitter and presses a button. Two clouds of green gas begin to escape from the large Pinocchio balloon. Vicky stands by the open door of her car and keeps snapping photos of the parade. She snaps a photo of the balloon and two canisters attached to it. She snaps again, then spots two trails of green gas pouring from a valve in the balloon, through the canisters, and into the atmosphere.
Oh my God. Smilex gas. He's going to kill everybody!
Get in the car.
No!
Get in the car!
Vicky hops into the front passenger side. Knox runs to the boot and opens it. Vicky winds up the driver's window and calls out to him.
Hurry!
Knox covers his mouth and takes out a wooden club. A man falls onto the windscreen. The man slides off. Knox races towards the masked goons and thwacks them with the club. The goons hold on with ropes to a second air balloon, also emitting gas. Knox runs at them. A couple of goons lift off the ground, rising with the balloon. Batman swoops through the sky in his Batplane, diving like a fighter jet round the towering steeple of Gotham City Cathedral and down into the metropolis. He rips past the high-rises, tearing over the narrow streets, ribbons of traffic caught in the chaos of escape far below. Another air balloon of a giant baby floats high above the parade. One of the goons hanging onto it loses his grip and falls, crashing through a neon sign on his way down. He smashes through an action news van, which blows. The Batplane rockets through the sky, curving downwards into another dive. Green gas rushes from the Pinocchio balloon. On the ground, there's mass panic. People clamber over cars abandoned on the street. Terrified, Vicky screeches round a corner. Knox throws himself onto the bonnet of her car. He hangs on while Vicky races forward and collides with a heap of rubbish which Knox is thrown back onto. She gets out, walks around the car and crouches down by Knox. He's crumpled in a heap covered in tiny white feathers. Batman storms towards them in his Batplane. He races over a street and flicks a switch on his control panel. Giant pincers emerge from the front. Batman flicks another switch. The pincers open. Batman flies beneath the giant balloons, gathering together all the ropes holding them to the ground with the pincers, then snapping them closed. The Joker watches.
My balloons!
Batman flies on, pulling the bunch of balloons with him. The Batplane makes a steep curve upwards, rising to avoid the cathedral steeple. The Joker looks at Bob.
Those are my balloons.
The Batplane flies high above the city, pulling the cluster of balloons behind it. Batman presses a lever. The pincers snap the ropes and the balloons float away into oblivion. On the ground, the Joker climbs down the layers of artificial pink cake and candles, steps onto a goon and jumps to the ground. His goons gather round.
He stole my balloons! Why didn't somebody tell me that he had one of those things?
He points to the sky.
Bob? Gun.
Bob hands him his gun. The Joker shoots him. He holds the gun out to another goon.
Going to need a minute or two alone, boys.
Come on, get out of here!
The goons shoot in the air and the crowd scramble for cover outside the Monarch Theater. The Batplane soars above the city, climbing and spinning through the thick dark cloud. It emerges in a clear sky, its bat shape clearly illuminated against a full, bright moon. It drops down through the cloud. Batman heads back towards Gotham. On the ground, the goons sweep the crowd with the searchlights. Batman flicks a series of switches on his control panel. Four torpedo-shaped objects with red heads emerge from the body of the plane. A panel opens and a Gatling-type gun pops out. The Joker steps away from his giant cake with its large 200 on the front and looks up into the skies. Batplane draws closer. The Joker beckons it.
Come on, you gruesome son of a bitch. Come to me.
Come on.
Batman lines Batplane up. He clicks on a few controls, fixes a viewfinder in front of his face, and releases the torpedoes. They explode on a float carrying several of the goons. Batman's got the Joker right on target in his viewfinder. Batman presses a switch, releasing rapid gunfire and two more torpedoes. None of them hit the Joker, who eggs him closer. Batman pushes the viewfinder away. The Joker unbuttons his coat and pulls a gun with a long barrel out from behind his waistband. He aims it at the Batplane and fires. The cockpit of Batplane is engulfed in smoke. Vicky watches in horror, the Joker in delight as Batplane dives, spewing out smoke. Batman steadies the plane, leveling it out for a rough landing. It skids along the street and comes to a halt on the steps of Gotham City Cathedral. Small piles of debris burn in its wake. Vicky, in long white dress with low-cut neckline, a long white coat and high heels, runs along the street towards the cathedral. She climbs the steps and crouches down by a smouldering Batplane. Batman is nowhere to be seen. Sections of the control panel ignite and explode. Vicky steps back and watches helplessly. The long barrel of a gun is pointed at her head.
Darling.
Vicky turns round.
I've got to get you to the church on time.
He forces her up the steps of the cathedral at gunpoint through his remote control communicator.
Yes, sir?
Gotham City Cathedral. Transportation for two.
Right away, sir?
5 minutes.
5 minutes.
He throws his head back to look up at the skyscraping cathedral tower.
Better make it 10.
Okay, 10 minutes.
He ushers Vicky inside, through the tall gothic doors with his long-barreled gun. Batman clambers out of the burning wreckage of his Batplane, a little grubby and shaken but still intact. He spots the Joker take Vicky into the cathedral. He follows them. Inside, the Joker steers Vicky up some stone steps through an arched doorway. Batman pushes open the wooden gothic double doors as the Joker is herding Vicky up a wooden staircase towards the tower. Batman staggers into the nave. The Joker hurries up the steps after Vicky. She reaches a platform and looks at him nervously. He clicks the telescopic gun barrel back in on itself to make it half its length and waves it at her, gesturing up. She turns and starts to climb another staircase. Batman falls against a pew. The cobwebbed pew falls against another pew, which topples another and so on like a deck of cards. Pigeons scatter about. Vicky and the Joker turn round on hearing the noise. Batman walks through the nave towards the arched door to the tower. The Joker pushes Vicky upwards. Batman, with a bloody graze on his cheek, follows, pushing upwards, two steps at a time. Vicky tumbles, and one of her white stilettos falls off. The Joker picks it up. Holding it up, he kisses it, then drops it over the railing and watches it fall, down, down, far below, out of sight. It lands on a wooden platform just as Batman reaches it. Batman looks up, then hurries onwards. The Joker and Vicky reach the top of the tower. Outside on the ground, a trail of squad cars and vans rush up to the building with the roof lights flashing. Commissioner Gordon jumps out of a cop car and orders his men. The commissioner leads his men up the steps to the cathedral doors. The Joker pushes open a trapdoor, and he and Vicky climb through to the belfry. The Joker points his gun at her and flips the trapdoor closed with his foot. Huge bells hang from the rafters and swing gently. The Joker walks towards one of them. Commissioner Gordon directs his men through the nave. The Joker holds up the pink flower in his buttonhole and squirts acid from it onto the enormous bolts holding the bell in place. Within moments, the bell falls. It crashes its way down past the wooden staircase, which spirals round the inner walls of the bell tower. Batman pushes back against the wall and watches the bell thunder past him towards the bottom. He rushes on up the stairs. Debris and wooden planks crash to the ground with the bell and block the arched doorway to the pursuing cops. Batman passes Vicky's other shoe on the staircase. Commissioner Gordon pushes hopelessly against the great bell that's wedged in the door to the bell tower, then turns to his men and shakes his head. They head out. Batman passes Vicky's white coat, which hangs from a post higher up the staircase. Gordon runs down the steps from the cathedral with his men. The cops run to carry out his orders. The commissioner looks up at the tower as his men guide searchlights up towards its belfry. Batman pushes open the trapdoor to the belfry and pokes his head through it. He looks round, then climbs up through it. There's no one to be seen, the belfry shrouded in a veil of light mist and cast in shadows. Huge wheels turn slowly beside the remaining bells.
It can be truly said that I have a bat in my belfry.
Batman spins round. The dim lights from the faraway searchlights dance across the rafters. Batman's eyes dart round. He walks across the floor.
Shall we dance?
Batman turns round. A small figure in black somersaults into view, flipping his body rapidly towards Batman. Jagged blades spring from his boots as he flies through the air. Batman holds his palm with its protector pad out and up. The figure bounces back from it and falls onto his back, unconscious. Between the pillars bearing the roof of the belfry, Batman can see the garish figure of the Joker, dragging Vicky about in a macabre waltz. The Joker still gripping hold of his gun. Hulking Lawrence the Goon springs at Batman, but falls through the rotten floorboards behind him. Batman swings round to see a gaping hole. Oblivious, the Joker dances with his Vicky. Another goon jumps on Batman and thrusts him through a wooden wall. He then grabs an old rope attached to a heavy block and swings it at Batman, who ducks successfully. All the while, the Joker dances around the outer edges of the belfry, pulling Vicky with him. The goon's still swinging the block at Batman, but hits masonry, which crumbles. The masonry drops down through the tower. The goon lugs the heavy block around the inside of the belfry, searching for Batman. The Joker pauses with an exhausted Vicky and points the gun at his head.
Without you, I just wouldn't want to go on.
He pulls the trigger and a little red flag pops out. He flings the gun away and dances on with Vicky. Inside the belfry, the goon circles round a bell, searching for Batman. He pushes it with his foot. Batman springs onto him from the top of the bell, but the goon thrusts him backwards onto some steps, which he crashes through. The bulky goon grabs him up, drags him backwards, and throws him against a wall. He pounds Batman with punches. The Joker continues dancing in the background. Vicky's body is slumped against his and her arms hang limply. The goon hurls Batman back against a bell. Batman disappears down into its shaft. The goon kneels down and peers down the bell shaft. There's no sign of Batman. Suddenly, Batman's legs swing up and grip the goon on either side of his head, clatters him against the side of the bell and flips him down the bell shaft. The Joker leads Vicky around the floor, swings her out at arm's length, then pulls her in. She falls over his shoulder. He kisses the inside of her elbow, then draws back, still holding her by one hand.
It's as though we were made for each other. Beauty and the Beast. Of course, if anyone else calls you Beast, I'll rip their lungs out.
He pulls her towards him, dancing tirelessly, psychotically. He kisses her hand. Batman appears behind him. Vicky raises her eyes to see Batman disappear behind a pillar. She bites her lower lip and frowns, then begins to kiss the Joker's purple sleeve. He stops dancing. She pulls a face of disgust, but continues kissing him.
Excuse me.
Batman.
Have you ever danced with the devil in the pale moonlight?
He punches the Joker, sending him flying into a bell. The Joker bounces off it, and Batman grabs him.
You idiot! You made me, remember? You dropped me into that vat of chemicals. That wasn't easy to get over. And don't think that I didn't try.
I know you did.
Batman punches him in the gut.
You killed my parents.
What? Huh. What are you talking about?
Huh? I made you. You made me first.
Hey, Bat Brain. I mean, I was a kid when I killed your parents. I mean, I say I made you. You gotta say you made me. How childish can you get, huh? You wouldn't hit a guy with glasses on, would you?
He dons glasses. Batman punches him over the outer wall of the tower. Batman and Vicky peer down. The Joker grabs their wrists and yanks them over. Vicky and Batman cling onto a ledge with their fingers. The Joker is higher up, hanging onto a gargoyle. He turns to eye the stone creature.
What are you laughing at?
The searchlights scan the tower. The Joker is caught in the light.
Here, let me lend you a hand.
Vicky takes his hand. It breaks off. She falls, but Batman catches her. He lifts her hand towards the ledge where she hangs on again.
Lend your head.
The Joker steps along the eaves, beating on the ledge tiles to loosen them and knock them away where possible.
Oh, they don't make them like they used to. Do they, eh? Hey, Betsy!
He jiggles and dances on the ledge. A helicopter appears with two of his goons hanging out of it, searching the tower for him.
There he is! Down there! Go down!
The Joker's delirious, waving his arms and waggling his green and purple checkered bottom at Batman and Vicky. He kicks his legs out wildly as the chopper draws closer. The Joker grins up at it, then looks down at Batman and Vicky.
Well, it's time to retire. Feel free to drop in.
He looks up and one of his goons hurls down a rope ladder. It swings towards the Joker and he grips onto it.
Sometimes I just kill myself!
The helicopter begins to lift away with the Joker dangling from the ladder.
Come on! Hold on!
Batman raises his bat gun and fires a grapple hook from it. One end wraps around the Joker's ankle, the other round a gargoyle. The Joker wriggles and shakes, but can't get free. The helicopter rises higher. The Joker's goons beckon him. The gargoyle shakes, then tumbles from its cornerstone, and finally falls away from the tower. The heavy rock sculpture hangs from the Joker's ankle attached by Batman's grapple hook. The Joker grips onto the rope ladder. His hands slip a rung to the lower one. He winces and grimaces as he struggles to hang on. Finally, his hands lose their grip and he drops towards the ground. Batman puts his arm around Vicky and eases her up. The loose ledge tiles give way and they fall backwards, dropping down towards the ground. Batman holds up his Batgun and fires a grapple hook from it. It lands on the floor of the bell tower and slides across it, digging its sharp teeth into a cornerstone. Batman and Vicky stop mid-air. They hang suspended from the taut rope. They swing together over and back, holding onto one another, caught in the beam of the searchlight. On the ground, cops gather round the garish spectacle of the Joker, lying spread-eagled on his back on the ground, with a clownish grin on his blood-streaked white face. Commissioner Gordon bends down beside him, frowning curiously. He slips his hand beneath the Joker's jacket and pulls out a green silk bag from the inner breast pocket, which he holds up. It's a laughing bag. The citizens of Gotham have gathered outside the City Hall to hear the mayor. Vicky stands and listens.
Our police have rounded up all the Joker's men. The reign of crime is over. Public safety in Gotham City is no longer a laughing matter.
Hey, Vil, aren't you covering this press conference?
Nope.
Well, what about our Pulitzer Prize?
She smiles.
What about us?
She shakes her head.
What about your picture of Batman?
She turns to face Knox and steps up to him, smiling. She kisses his cheek.
Take care, Ellie.
She pats his cheeks and walks on.
We've received a letter from Batman this morning.
Knox runs back to hear Harvey Dent read it.
Please inform the citizens of Gotham that Gotham City has earned the rest from crime. But if the forces of evil should rise again to cast a shadow on the heart of the city, call me.
Question. How do we call?
Commissioner Gordon steps down to a huge searchlight and switches it on.
He gave us the signal!
The black motif of a bat is painted onto the searchlight, and the image is cast into the skies. Vicky walks away slowly from the City Hall, deep in thought. She pauses and looks up to see Batman's insignia beamed up into the sky, and smiles to herself. She walks on, then turns round to see Alfred standing by a car a short distance away. He waves to her. Vicky walks towards him. He opens the back door for her. A bottle of champagne sitting in an ice bucket waits inside for her.
I thought champagne would be in order, ma'am.
Hi, Alfred.
She gets in the back and he closes the door. Alfred gets into the driver's seat.
Mr. Wayne told me to tell you that he might be a little late.
She smiles and shakes her head.
I'm not a bit surprised.
Alfred drives on. Looking out over the city by night, from one of the tallest buildings, Batman stands on a plinth with his winged cape floating about him, beside the beamed insignia of a bat. ITFC audio description by Aileen Downey.